Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello everyone, it's the Machin Page App Podcast. We're here. I'm here. Chris is there. Hi Chris.
Hi mate.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Not good at all. You know we're not good. You know we're not good because we've had a horrendous afternoon. We got stuck in an echo chamber or some kind of... I'm not sure whether we got stuck in the future or the past or whatever, but it was a horrendous couple of hours. People will have seen it because we managed to stream it live somehow, Paul. So you know how I am. And if you were asking for the viewers, when I'm telling the viewers, I'm in a fairly foul mood.
For those of you, there was like... the 60 people for whom who will understand this gag and this anecdote ahead of time, because we're trying to set up, look, you know, in the interest
of... Too late,
of
mate. We've done it live.
We want to do a Football Manager series. We want to stream it live to the Red Men channel. Nothing wrong with that. We're allowed to do that. You know, it's a perfectly legitimate thing to do these days. And it's a good idea. And it is... so close to being technically within our grasp, and that's where the maddening thing comes from. So Chris is handling all the technical side of it this time around, and it looks great. Like, the graphics look boss, the concept's really good. We did some, you know, we both guested on James Allcott's channel on his Football Manager series, and we really loved it, and we're really inspired by it. Highly recommend checking it out. If you're into that sort of thing. But yeah, we thought we'll do this, and we'll do our own version of it. Great. And we ended up in a mad bananas world where we are having a conversation via Discord, equivalent to Skype, for those of you not in the know. So we're chatting to each other. We got our headphones in and we're talking to each other back and forth, but we're also then watching a stream of us having that conversation effectively.
Yeah.
Which is on like a 2-minute delay. So we're listening to the things that we've said 2 minutes in the past, but the problem is we're not having a long, endless conversation saying new and different things. So I can go, remember when we said that thing about the duck? It was like...
because we were just doing an audio test where we called, so it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you go audio test. And maybe someone would be clever and go, right, the time's 3:01 and this is an audio test. And then all of a sudden, you're answering questions that have happened 2 minutes ago. And then you were trying to be a funny beggar going, this is the past, this is the past. And then you even got to a point where you said, I'm not sure whether I've just said that or I've just heard me saying that.
I started whistling a song at one point and I couldn't work out whether I was listening to me whistling or I'd put that as an earworm in your head and then you started whistling it. Honestly, I can't even begin to describe the absolute head fuck that is when you get into the nuts and bolts of live stream. We've been doing this with the Red Men quiz on a Friday night, where we originally tried to test it. We wanted guests on the stream, so people in the show, and then you're able to play along using the app at home. And we're trying to work out that... whereas for people, the app changes immediately because the app changes for everyone. But if you're only getting the questions from you watching on YouTube, you're watching on a delay. So what does that mean? What does that mean you have to do differently in the now to have whatever it happens when someone sees it a minute and a half later? What have you got to do to make that make sense and make it work for them? It's like the crappest version of time travel.
Yeah.
I think that it's, and it is, and what we've, I can't even,
what we know is that we can't do it. Like, we can't get our heads around it. It bends your head. Something chronic, though, doesn't it, mate? It just bends your head.
There was a point where I was talking and you weren't answering me. And then I think you'd muted. So you weren't listening to me. You'd muted me because you were trying to do something else. And then you came back on and then you started talking to the past me who you were listening to say something. Like, I don't even know if I'm explaining this right for people at home, but I cannot put into words. And bear in mind, I'm doing this well because I'm a fucking moron and I'm a multitasker at heart. I've got two other screens open in front of me and I'm kind of doing something similar with something with another streaming thing, and I bear in mind this is probably the moment where we've lost the vast majority of the audience here, because you know we try to be relatable, we try to talk about our parent roles, and don't worry, there'll be plenty of those this week, but this is like the little insight into the world where, and we mentioned this a lot casually on stuff, how we've had people to do this stuff for us for quite a while now, and when they struggle with it, all you do is you just bollock them and they get it right, or you put a fatherly arm around the shoulder or whatever. But you know, having to learn a new skill set, and moreover, as we've been saying for weeks now, having to learn a new skill set in your world where every now and again one or two children just pop in just to check you're all right.
Yeah, mate. I mean, I'm not sure they check on them all right. I think they just like to fucking piss me off.
Yeah, they're like, are you all right? No, brilliant. Or yes, right, what can we do about that?
Like, yeah. It's like, I managed to get through the day and then Robin comes up at like, Kat comes home and Robin comes up, mummy's home. I'm like, great, go down with her now. Because now she's here, I don't have to look after you anymore because you've pecked my head all day, Paul. I bought them a flipping slip and slide today.
Right. Flipping, slipping, slide.
Wow.
Flipping,
slipping, slide. It's great. And I was like, this is just going to be brilliant. Because we're not spending money going out. We're not doing this. But you can still treat the kids and stuff, can't you? And you want to treat your kids and that, Paul. And see, they're like, I'm like, right. I bought them two things last week. I bought them a slipping slide and a flipping smaller paddling pool. Because you need a paddling pool that doesn't take you half a day to fill up.
Yeah.
Like two size paddling pools. I'm sorry if that sounds like proper middle class or whatever, but if you've got a big paddling pool only, you won't get it out ever because it takes forever to fill up. So a little one where they can just sit in, no bigger than a baby bath really is what I was looking for. So I bought
a giant, it's basically a big bucket.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I could probably carry it to the sink and fill it up. I've ordered one that's so small. And I can carry it back out so I'm not filling it up with cold water. Anyway, so the slip and slide arrived and stupidly they opened the door and saw it. It wasn't well packaged. So they were like, right, yeah. I was like, I have to do this with them now. So I got it out. It took like 45 minutes. You have to blow it up. You have to shove water in it. It's got the sprinklers coming off. It's a best way, by the way. So it's no big thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the B&M. Slip and slide. This isn't the proper one.
Yeah.
Got it all set up, and it lasted about a minute and a half. They actually couldn't do it.
They couldn't throw themselves head first.
Now, bear in mind, this is Lyra, and Lyra falls over head first at least seven times a day. Couldn't manage it once at the end of the ramp, though, could she? Ran over the ramp, waltzed, pranced down one of the lanes and got into the little pool at the end with their feet and went, did it, Daddy. Fuck
off. It's like the first time kids go on trampolines and they don't get the concept. Like, the basically, you just kind of get yourself up once and the trampoline kind of does a lot of it. It's all done from your core or whatever. Whereas, yeah, like, they just tend to, like, walk on trampolines or run on trampolines or whatever. In fact, I had a good example of this about the kids just not getting stuff, and you realise like fundamentals of life that you take for granted. So we got out the Wii and we got out the Wii Fit Board, and like, I bet there's a ton of people listening and going, oh my god, the Wii Fit Board. Yeah, everyone had one. Absolutely everyone had one because it was seen as the solution to everyone's fitness problems. Get a board, get a big piece of plastic that you sit on, you stand on, and that'll make you fit or whatever. But what I realise is trying to teach my kids how to shift your body weight, and that is a very difficult. And this is my 8-year-old, by the way, who Jack thinks, and he's not wrong. If you want to shift your body weight forward, he just puts his head forward, and it's like, no, like that's how you end up like on your fat on your face when you're trying to wee ski. But yeah, like trying to explain to someone fundamentally how to slip, it's like, because I guess when you think about it, like your animalistic instincts must be so counterintuitive. Like, I know people, they fall over all the time, but they're not meant to. You know,
yeah,
like,
no, but so, like, Lyra, for example, she, like, every time she has a bath every night, she empties the bath and she slides from one end of the bath to the other. It looks like a great game. I wish it was small enough to actually do it. So I was just like, that's it, just do what you do in the bath. And like, at one point, I literally shoved her down so she was face down on the mat and ragged her down the thing, and that was as close as we got to an actual slip and slide.
To throw in slide.
Yeah, basically. I obviously had two goes myself and completely nailed both of them.
Oh, well, I have no doubt that you, if there's a man who was born to slip and slide, it was Chris Pager.
Honestly, like, it felt so good on my nipples as well. Is that silence? Or I just wondered whether the Skype had stalled.
Okay, so one thing that it raised, we were chatting about this before, and I don't know when this happens, but like, you were saying about, like, all you could think about is how much water you were pouring over your lawn.
I know.
And I had this before when I set up a couple of goals either end of the grass, and the grass bit's not massive in our house, so it's not, you can't, which is an issue in and of itself, because you can't kick a ball. Trying to kick a ball not hard is very difficult. Like, I've never really thought about it this way. Like, try shooting when, if you kick it at a normal power, you will A, clean the goal out, and B, clean the person you're shooting against out, because you're only, like, 2.5 meters away from someone is not a sufficient distance for it. But by the by, we played on it on a slightly wet day, and the grass under both goals was absolutely fucked. And I was like, "Oh my god, this is really that, I can't do this. What have I done to me? What have I done to my lawn?" And the moment those words kind of entered into my brain, I just had like a, and I think you have these as a parent, don't you? Where you have these like sort of acid like flashbacks to your mum and dad complaining to you about something that you've done, and you go on like thinking like, what are these talking about? Who cares? I'm just doing this. This is what happens. And like, that was another one of those moments, and I've had tons of them where you just go, I was like, oh my god, my mum was furious with me doing this to the lawn, and now.
Do you remember what we did though? It was bad. I mean, yeah. Talk about giant paddling pools. Like, I mean, it was the biggest, wasn't it? Like, it was bigger than what people are getting hot tubs hired into their house for now. It was huge. We spent hours and hours. I think me and Wednesday stayed up all night drinking in the paddling pool once, and the water was so old and cold that we ended up using it to store beers in.
Yeah, that was straight off the bat. So the original story goes, mum and dad go away for a fortnight. And
glorious,
I'd said,
times. Great
oh,
times.
God.
Thank you, John.
Oh,
thank
mum and dad's going away was the best. But I said to Chris and our other mates today at the time, and in fact, everyone, I was like, right, listen, now, everyone can come round in the evening or whatever, but I'm just going to chill out and whatever in the day, and then and blah, blah, blah. What happened was Chris and Steve turned up, and I was thinking about this week. They turned up with a crate of reef.
Yes! Orange reef. Torpedoes away.
Yeah, so they turned up with that, and it was like, oh, go on, welcome. So we had this paddling pool, and I mean, for people who remember what the wide shot looks like in the set, the table's quite big. It was probably double-ish the circumference of the table, so it was pretty big. Big round thing, and it had like these plastic legs that plugged in all around it to like give it like a big bar, and then the plastic dropped down, and anyway, you filled it up, and it took yonks and yonks and yonks to fill up, which we did. So we just sat there, and we let it fill up. We sat down and drank, yes, and smoked cigarettes, and waited for it to fill up. But then we started putting the beers in there as well, so it became like somewhere to dip and cool off, but also it was an outdoor beer store.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. Why would you have to go? You don't want to be walking through the house wet. Your mum would shout at us, you know what I mean? But have the beers in the pool with you.
So this is like one of, I think this is one of two stories when I got the biggest bollock I've ever got. And bear in mind, this was like university age, so I wasn't even living at home anymore at this point. Like, I'd get a phone call and just be like, what have you done? So we left this paddling pool in the middle of the lawn for a fortnight, and it got to the day before, and it was meant to be the three of us tidying up, but Steve wasn't available. He was working or whatever.
By the end of it, am I right, there was like broken bottles,
oh, there was
glass
broken
in there.
Glass,
like, it wasn't a swimming pool or paddling pool anymore, was it? It was a fucking pond. I'm surprised if there wasn't frogs and frog spawn in it. It was so bad, like,
honestly, yeah.
Still a few cold beers though.
It was disgusting. It was fucking disgusting. And yeah, so and we go, right, my mum and dad are coming back like tomorrow, so we need to sort this house out. And bear in mind, like, we just lived rough in that house for a fortnight. Like, ashtrays knocked everywhere, and we'd not done the dishes for 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
the dishes. Still makes me sick thinking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there was like, we found maggots on a plate.
We burnt them, didn't we?
We burnt them, because why? Because obviously.
We couldn't work out how to get them. So we just...
No, I mean, we could have just scraped them into a bin like any sane human being, but we for a laugh, we decided to see what happened if we sprayed a Lynx can and lighted and basically torched them like alien style. But anyway, another story for another day. This paddling pool. So bear in mind, like, this must have... I can't even come close to explain how many litres or gallons or whatever of liquid this must have had in. But it was for two... bear in mind, we're in our prime. We're probably like 18, you know. I think we would have been like 17, 18 or whatever around this time. We physically couldn't lift it. So we couldn't lift it to tip it out. And then we're like, well, what do we do? So we hit upon the ingenious idea of just taking the legs off one by one to effectively lower it down and let all the water pour out.
I can see it in slow motion, Paul. Like the fucking Hoover Dam getting fucking knocked down in a film or something, you know what I mean?
What is that film with Ewan McGregor in where he's in the... It's the tsunami in like, whatever it is, like Thailand or whatever, and you see the tidal wave coming towards... It was basically...
Oh, yeah. I remember
like the Happening or something like that. Like, It was like that. It was a tsunami of scummy beer-y pond water that just basically went over, and then it ended up like a marsh because there was just too much water. It was the whole garden was underwater. The grass was basically underwater, and this was not a small garden.
It was like that look when we did it and the water went everywhere. We like looked at each other and looked down at the ground and thought that was a bad idea, wasn't it?
This is I've referenced this before about like how there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Machen Page app way, and it's basically the wrong way, but just done in the stupidest way possible. And what we and Chris are very good at doing is we're great problem solvers, but we're not necessarily great at, with the solution. Our solutions aren't necessarily the best solutions to the problems. They're not necessarily eternal solutions. We don't necessarily go, here's a problem and here's the ramifications of our solution, and let's adjust the plan accordingly so we never have to deal with any of these problems. No, we'll find a solution, we'll do that solution, it will create a new problem, and then repeat the process. So we had a flooded... Go on. We had a flooded garden.
It was fucking brilliant. I've never seen anything quite like it, to be honest. I just remember walking through it thinking we're dead. Your mum is going to absolutely have our pants down, like completely and utterly dead.
Yeah,
oh, God.
And bear in mind, this opened up two problems. So the first problem was the whole grass is now about an inch underwater. And... when we move the now empty carcass of the pool, it reveals the 3 meter diameter dead patch of grass. It
looked like a fucking alien ship had landed on the lawn and fucking stayed there.
So yes, this is just 3 meter circumference. 3 meter diameter, dead patch of yellow grass in the middle of this verdant green flooded landscape. So basically our other mate turns up at this point. We've got pitchforks and we're pitchforking holes into the grass to help drain the water
irrigation
away into the soil.
Irrigation.
And he just turns up and he goes, why didn't you just siphon the water out with the hose pipe?
To be fair, like, Steve was always the best of us for that, and we miss him for that. Like, yeah. we could pretty much do everything, the three of us. But as times change and you grow old and you lose track of people and stuff like that, whatever. But I still think we might be siphoning the water off today if we'd have done it his way. it was a fucking lot of water. I reckon if it was fuel, you could get at least around the world once in an aeroplane with that much water.
100%. Yeah, it was enough water to fill an actual hot air balloon upside down. It was a significant amount of fluid, and yet it ruined the garden forever.
It just reminds me of when my mum and dad were going away, and like they came back and they were like, "Do you remember when they accused me of doing crack?"
Yeah.
So I don't know why we burnt a smiley face into a piece of paper or something with a lighter, hadn't we? And then they come back and my mum's like, "You're doing crack," and I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "I found this," and I'm like, "Mum, I burnt a smiley face into a piece of paper, or somebody burnt a smiley face into a piece of paper with a lighter," like, and she's proper accused me. And then my dad's like, "What's wrong with the edges? Hedges are fucked, Chris." I'm like, "What? Hedges? Nothing to do with me, Dad." But do you remember?
I do. We commando crawled over the top of the hedges because your bedroom window opened out and the flat roof was underneath it. So we could get out of your bedroom window onto there and then jump on top of the hedge. And these hedges are like...
They were eight foot.
8 foot, yeah.
Yeah, so but we were doing it the other way as well. We were climbing onto the hedges and then over to the roof, and then we'd jump off the roof onto the garden. So I got done for the hedges, and I got done for Steep High's footprints in the middle of the garden, because you're jumping from a good...
from first, well, top, first story, aren't
first
you?
Story, but the garden's slightly raised, isn't it? So yeah. You take a couple of foot off. But Steve was a big lad, like, and he jumped, and he wouldn't, like, land and run. He'd land, like... fucking
one straight of
the Fantastic Four, what's the big one called, he just
the thing
yeah, he just lands, you know what I mean, or does the Hulk just land, he doesn't like run or whatever. That's what he would do, and there'd just be two big caterpillar boots he'd wear all the time, weren't they, two big size 10 caterpillar boot footprints in the middle of the lawn, and over and over and over again.
It was like a cartoon thing where someone like Wile E. Coyote falls off a cliff and ends up like buried in the bedrock, up to his waist kind of situation. Yeah, I'm interested in actually. Yeah, people, I want to know actually. We'll do some of these in the future. Let us know in the comments, or you can email to us, matexpayjack@gmail.com. Well, I'm Paul. Any of your stories along these lines of things that you've gotten away with? Maybe they're always good ones. If you've got any confessions on the lines of what you've done when your mum and dad were away on holiday, please do let us know. There's one that I was thinking about the other day, and it was when a mate of ours, Robin, was his mum and dad. Did they go away for like a month? Or
6 weeks.
Like a lifetime. And we all basically lived in his house, and it came to like a culmination of we all went out to the crazy house, and one of our mates had decided at the end of the night that he just wanted a fight. Like, he wanted to get in a physical fight with someone. And these are the things now where you look back and you're like, people get fucking killed in town. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it takes one punch, one bad fall, and you're just dead. And us at, like, 19, I think, I had no concept of this. And it was just like, oh, yeah, you're getting into a fight. And he was offering people outside the crazy. I was
he
going,
was pushing
wanna
people
fight?
As well. Like, it was ridiculous. And we all ended up in this massive fight because he was just drunk and fucking angry.
So we basically, yeah, there would have been like five or six of us, and we're outside the crazy house, and it ends up, it's one of those moments, I always remember this moment, like, it started between our mate and this lad right in front of me, and the lad, I got slapped, a full hand slapped across the face, which I've never had, an experience I've never had before. It was like, and your mind can't comprehend that happening to you, just in, and particularly when you've had a skinful, of like, somebody just choosing to turn around and open and slap you in the face. And then the next thing I remember, I like came back to almost. I was knocked out, but like, I don't know what I was doing, but like, I zoned out. And this girl's tapping me on the shoulder, going, "I think your mate's in trouble down there." And I kind of like look, and it's like time skipped forward 30 seconds, and every one of our group is embroiled in a fist fight at some level up and down where Wood Street or whatever. And anyway, we all got our heads kicked in. To varying degrees, and I just have this vision of us all in the taxi on the way home, and we all got a taxi, and everyone's licking the wounds, and nobody said a word. And this is like a taxi from town to like Edgar Vale, so it's not long, like, you know, five maybe 10 minutes if that. And we got to like just around the corner from his house, and it's just like, "Don't do that again, will we, lads?" We got absolutely fucking pied
everywhere. It was ridiculous, because like, what he should have done if he wanted a fight was just like not get us involved for a start. and maybe queried how many of them we were fighting. Yeah. Because it was 3-on-1, but like there was about 18 of them because it started off and then there's some lad went, yeah, all right. And then next thing, you know, just this huge troop of fucking men start coming filing in. I've never got into fights or anything like that before, you know what I mean? Just like, what on earth is going on? How have we got here? I'm about 2 bottles of red wine in, however many bloody WKDs and Sambucas. even if I was sober, I got my head kicked in, but I can barely stand up.
Yeah,
just ridiculous. Like, and what a divvy he was for doing that. Like, I've never. Oh God.
Let us know that. Yeah, in the comments of these on YouTube, or you can tweet us at MateXPedgeoch, or you can email MateXPedgeoch@gmail.com. Any of your stories from childhood, where maybe like if you want to do heroic moments, but really I want to know some of your stupidest teenage moments. And yeah, what moments, maybe is there something you've done recently that's reminded you of them? Because yeah, honestly, when I look at the patch of bald grass on my garden now, and I think, my astro that.
Do you know, I've got a really good one. It's not like embarrassing or anything like that.
Yeah.
But my cousin got married, our cousin Michael, and he got married, and we all went down to the wedding. Obviously, it was down south in Oxford. I was about 14, 15 years old. And you're in your best gear, aren't you? You know what I mean? And this is what my mum, like, if there's something from my childhood that she remembers most, this is probably the one. And the place to get married was unbelievable. There was tennis courts, there was people were playing football. It's one of the best weddings I've ever been to. And everyone's kicking a footy around that goes in this lake. And they're like, anyone a good swimmer? And I'm like, yeah. Jump straight into a lake in my full wedding gear, just go and get the ball, come back, and I'm like, here you go. And my mum comes flying out, what are you doing? I'm like, the ball went in the lake. I'm like, I'm a good swimmer. And they were like, get in your full suit. I'm like, so?
Got the ball.
Yeah, got the ball. Like, I'm a legend. I'm the lad who got into the lake. So, what did you say? And she never let me live that one down.
I don't think you've ever been to a wedding and there not be an anecdote about it. Are you getting up to something? You might not know, but to your knowledge, have you ever had an uneventful wedding?
No. I mean, one of the most recent was probably Ben Olroyd's. That was a belter.
Yeah,
I was so drunk, I was dancing with the kids and doing the knee slides, like you see down like the hall. You know, when kids go down a hall doing knee slides, I'm doing that pre-wedding meal. Then I think we were asked to
pre-meal,
mate. I was hammered, like so bad, and like just that guy. Except imagine that guy, but 10 times worse. The worst that guy that you've ever seen, I was him. And we got asked to look after Sean. So Kat obviously looked after Sean, not me. Mate's little kid. And as she was, took her to the toilet or something, the meal came. And I ate all of Kat's dinner and mine, right? And then fell asleep in my dinner, right? And then got dragged up to our room by Kat. That was the end of it. Knee slides, pre-dinner, ate my wife's dinner, fell asleep in mine, got dragged off up to bed.
You burn brightly but shortly in them situations, I think it's fair to say. Yeah, I love it. There's always that. Nobody more stereotypically embraces the wedding quite like the Pajak family. It's just, yeah, you know, strap on your hollow legs and just tip alcohol down your neck and get on the dance floor. I think that's always been the way forward. I'm amazed that you lasted your wedding. Genuinely, like, yeah. I've never been more astonished.
That was a boozy day, wasn't it?
That was a very boozy day for some of us. Some of us were fucking taking the photos, panicking and shitting themselves for the entire time. Because I'll give you a piece of advice, ladies and gents. If you've got a camera, there's going to be a temptation, because there's a point in your career when you want to be in media and you want to be in television or you want to be making stuff, and you've got the camera and you've got the desire for it and you just want to work, you just want to do things. So, you know, you think about what I can do. I can make music videos and I can do wedding videos. Everyone thinks they can do wedding videos. Maybe they can. But like, if you've got a digital, a DSLR, I'm not going here. You you can take a few photos and that's fine, but there's a world of difference when you're photographing your mate's band and you're photographing your best friend's wedding, because it's not even about him. I don't give a shit whether he likes the photos or not. It's his wife I care about, and I care about that moment where she's walking down the aisle and there's
your battery runs out.
Well, not yet. There's no and cut. Nah, I wasn't really feeling the way you did that, Kat. Can you just go back to the start, please? Excuse me, mother of the bride, can you just reset those tears, please? We're going to be going again. Right, everyone places. Mark, take two. No, there's not. You've got one go at getting it, and if you don't get it, you fucked it. You fucked them up. One of the moments that you're never going to ever get back, and I've never been. And bearing in mind, like, I've travelled the world, and I have interviewed some of the biggest stars, football stars on the planet and in history, and I have never really been nervous about any of that. But I was a fucking mess. And the worst thing was, is I said, right, that's it, I'm done. Everyone was partying in the night at the night by that point, and I went and I locked away the memory cards and I fucking did all that stuff, so I knew everything was safe. And I sat down to have pretty much my first bevy, and everyone was absolutely arsehole. And there's a great video of Aubrey who at the time he couldn't stand up, basically bouncing off the walls of a fucking toilet trying to have a piss, which would be TikTok gold if I still had that video somewhere.
Couldn't work out how to open the door.
Couldn't get out the door, and I just followed them behind. It was great. That was all I had. I had that vindictive, sober prick until I eventually caught up. But yeah, there's a piece of life advice for you. Take that, and please heed my advice on that.
Okay, we've launched our MXP Patreon. It's patreon.com/MateXPayJack. Link is in the description as well. Yes, if you want to show your support for what we do, then you can. And for that support, we will give you an exclusive Discord group just for subscribers, a monthly Ask Us Anything show, no holds barred. You know the way it works. So we've got extra shows, we've got Discord, we've got merchandise, we've got free merchandise, 20% off merchandise, Red Men merchandise codes, you name it, it's all over there. MateXPayJack at patreon.com. MateXPayJack. Come over, show your support, and we'll love you forever.
Chris, shall we?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are we purge?
Yes, we can purge, Paul.
Shall we?
I am purge. Going to send you a text message with what I am purging.
Ooh, that's interesting. There you go. You sent me a text message?
Well, no, I sent you a WhatsApp, but okay, I sent you a text message. So, there's this channel called...
Whoa.
Share
shit.
My Story on YouTube, right? Look okay. At the suggested videos underneath.
Okay.
You will be able to see this. I'm sure this will put this on the screen for you regardless. So, this video is called I Got My Stepmom Pregnant. The other one's BFF Pregnant by Dad. Stepmom pregnant, abandoned pregnant at 14, evil uncle. This is a channel, that video, I Got My Stepmom Pregnant, on YouTube, 11 million views, right? I walked into the living room the other day and Robin was watching this. And at first, you can see by the title, I thought I'd left Pornhub open, because they're titles that you see on pornos.
Yeah.
Like, and like maybe not with that type of anime, but there is anime porn, and I'm sure people see that, but no. So I am purging this type of content on YouTube, because it's totally fine being adult and telling the world that you're being adult. It's totally fine to swear, it's totally fine to this. That is aimed at a young audience, whether they tell me it's aimed at a young audience or not. Mm-hmm. That is there for one reason. You know, no 30-year-old is going to go, oh wow, well let's see this on YouTube, let's watch this animated show. It's just bullshit, and they need to stop it, because YouTube will get, like, they should do more to get rid of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Was that on the normal YouTube app or the
on the,
or
it's the kids on the telly, so they don't have the kids app on the telly, but we've got the restricted content on. So I don't know why that's showing up.
So it's mad, because I did a video this week with Jack doing this Back to the Future Playmobil DeLorean thing. It was brilliant, really good. But I decided to just have a message to see what you could do on the back of our settings. And now you've got to define when you upload a video whether it's made for kids or not. I'm sure you'll have seen this. If you click yes, it'll still show up on main YouTube, but it will have comments. It has comments disabled, and you can't specify ad types or whatever on it. So you can't do like the choose gambling ads or whatever. It's a much more restricted thing. So yeah, it's but that's the problem, isn't it? Is that normal YouTube? If you say it's not made for kids, but you then make it look kiddie, and your kids have then got on, it doesn't, YouTube still can't differentiate properly on the main app. I'm saying this to people because we've been on YouTube a long time now, and obviously I've grown up now, and I've got two kids who watch YouTube all the time, and I still do periodically watch the main one, but like they on like their any devices and stuff that they use, I haven't got the main no. YouTube app anymore, because no. It's because you're right, because shit like that.
It's an absolute disgrace that they can do that, because they are marketing that for kids. Now, whether it's 5-year-olds like Robin or whether it's 8 to 10 to 13-year-olds, they shouldn't be making content like that for those type of age groups, because that's what you're aiming for. Yeah. It's not a proper show. It's not factual in any way. They're all blag. They're all just completely made up. They're not real stories. Whatever you tell me, they're not. They're just not, like, it winds me up to walk into a room and see that on the television, and like, you know, you have to have that word with Robin and about it and stuff, and in the end I'm going to end up deleting YouTube off the TV because I can't trust it anymore, and that's not a good thing. And well, YouTube Kids isn't probably where Robin's at either, because like Lyra's absolutely fine with YouTube Kids because she doesn't need to search. Robin does, and doesn't have the ability to write and type well enough to be able to find what she wants.
Yeah.
So she actually needs to, on the television, she can hold the voice down and go Trinity and Madison, and then it will come up on YouTube, which is great. But then the suggested videos take it off down these things, and it's just infuriating, to be honest with you. So I'm purging that and that channel, and they're 2 million subscribers.
So that's now the second YouTube channel that you've purged in the last few weeks. Good. I think we'll root it out. I mean, the problem is there's billions and billions of hours of content being uploaded every second.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
But we'll get there. We'll get there one channel at a time. Any YouTube channels that you'd like to see purged, let us know in the comments or tweet us at MateXPager. It got me thinking in you saying it, because you mentioned the porn up and the titling and all that. Like, and I had to double check this before I said this out loud, and it's a conversation about others, because you have to be wary when you talk about things that you see on the internet when so much of it is tailored based on your viewing history. But I'm confident enough it now, because I know that this isn't stuff that I do search for on porn. But why is there so when did incest become a cool thing in porn? Like, why is it all like my stepmom this or my, you know, all this kind of this? It's like, if you ever look at trending videos, it's become a big. That kind of stuff's become a big thing, and it's mad. I know what it is. There's taboos, and that's what porn has effectively become. It's become a mad, unregulated wild west of you just finding the weirdest stuff you can get. There's a great documentary series on Netflix about it, and how you create pathways in your brain to what it is you like sexually because of the way that you people build up with masturbation or whatever, and how if there's something that, whether it's right or wrong, gets you over the edge, that can then form a pathway to being, that becomes the thing that you think that you're into or whatever. But there's some mad stuff. I always find that very odd. Like, who's decided what the trend is? Someone must be. Because obviously it's like, because there's no actual incest on there, because there can't be, because it's not, that's like, people don't do that, or people as attractive people don't do that, certainly. You can normally tell by the amount of fingers they've got on each hand.
It's always baffled me, that type of thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, I bang my brother or something, and you're just like, well, that's, like, if I saw you in the street, I'd say you're fucking weird and you shouldn't be doing that, and that's downright naughty.
But if I'm 45 minutes in...
But it's just like... I've no idea why people seem to like that thing or whatever. Thankfully, I can get over the fact and know that it's not true. So if it's a good scene, it's still a good scene. If you know what I mean.
I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, though, about like how porn, there's a generational thing, and it's not just porn, but it's like porn and sex and relationships and all that have changed, and how you access all that stuff has changed so dramatically from when we were teenagers. So, like, you know, there's people who work with us who are like 18, 19, and although fundamentally they've got the same things that we had, like, we'd have probably still been watching equivalent of porn would have been back then, new porn probably, or maybe there wasn't really streaming so much around that time.
No, you were downloading, you know, it, weren't you? Yeah, we
pictures,
were taking off dad's NAS drive.
finding scraps of porn on railway
burying
sidings,
it in the woods,
getting the catalogue and trimming out the bra pictures, you know, whatever.
Littlewood's done me proud there for a few years, no mention.
But it's true, but this is the thing, isn't it, like, is that it's I was thinking this about how, and it feeds into a whole thing, I think it was Jim Carrey saying about how what the pandemic has done has made us realise that as people we're not like, I am badly paraphrasing this, like, but our human psychology isn't compatible with how society has become, and that's why so many people more and more people are struggling with anxiety and with mental health issues and stuff, because the requirements of the world, and it tends to be because I find what happens is, and this is why you get left behind, because something new will happen. Like, I think I was talking to Ben Kelly, worked with us on Redman, he was telling me like about emojis and how he uses emojis for stuff, and I was like, well, that's just, you don't need to do that. And he's like, but you do. And I'm like, oh, because that's, and for him, for everyone, there's a generation of people who've just got Twitter, and they've had Twitter, and they've had all these things forever, and it's a normal part of life, whereas I still remember us not having them things, so that as much as they've become an integral part of me day to day and stuff, I could switch them off. Yeah. and never miss them again. But there's people, what happens is new generations come along, the old generation go, this is shit, this is a bit weird, we can't really be doing this, and then what happens is a new generation comes along and it becomes the norm, and then everyone's got to play catch up and everyone's got to get used to it all of a sudden, and then you end up in this constant cycle where no one's ever really settled with what's happening. Porn's a great example of that, you know. You used to have to if you were underage, you had to go to find a news agent where you just thought they were a bit lax, and you had to stand on your puff your chest out as much as possible and hide your school tie, and, you know, and be brave enough to walk over and pick a magazine off a shelf and then walk across and put it down on the counter and then have the money and be prepared for someone to say, how old are you? And then have your lie ready for you. Was the idea that you don't have to go through that rite of passage to earn the right for that, and you can just get it on your phone. It's, I find, there. Is baffled.
It's just there, but like, I'm glad I am not growing up now, to be honest with you, because there's too much of everything, and I'm a bit more like you. I can just switch things off. Like, I'll go through all day without looking at Twitter once, and then I'll look at it at night maybe, or I'll go through a couple of days without looking at Twitter, or, you know, make it more of an appointment to view. Like, all right, I'm going to look at Twitter for work, and then I'm out again. And like, I'm not really interested in what's going on. Like, I've got my news apps and stuff, and I've tailored my news to what I want to do. And so, like, Facebook, I barely ever go on Facebook now. Like maybe once a week I'll go on Facebook, something like that. It's very infrequent. I love Instagram now. I do really love Instagram. That's my favourite by a mile.
Yeah.
But I could give all of them up, you know. I think I realise now more than ever that at some point I'm probably going to move to the countryside.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much all the time and my brain just overloads with it all. You know, this constant, like, just, you need to have your fingers in the pulse and, like, have you seen this? And this, like, constant, almost, like, one-upmanship about everything in the world.
Yeah.
Alright, being a Liverpool fan is a good example of this, and this is to prove what I'm trying to say is, like, have you seen this? How do you not know this? And I'm like, what do you mean, how do I not know this? It's like, I've not looked at the Liverpool news today. Like, I'll check at night, or I'll check in the middle of the afternoon. Like, it just, I don't need to, like, constantly be every 10 minutes checking in on something. Like, I've got a checklist of things that I need to do and then start again. Nothing ever fucking changes. And that's what this thing is, what, like, until there's a football game, it's all just noise. And it doesn't really, like, you know me, Paul, I've always just loved the footy, and I love looking into the stats afterwards, but all the rest of it, it's just noise to me, and I'm realising now more than ever that I'm not missing that noise at all. Like, while there's no footy, there isn't as much noise around, so I'm actually having a nicer time online, because there's just not all this bullshit about transfers the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. None of it matters until they put a red shirt on and they play on the pitch. Like, and it's just that, it's that in everything at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it is. It's weird. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you look at, like, a generation, but it's mad. You're the same token, you then look at people who are maybe a generation above and don't even access it, and you do go, you still go, oh, like, what do you mean you don't get Twitter? What do you mean you don't understand? I still get infuriated when my mum doesn't know how to post properly on Facebook. But also, you know, there's a degree to which I do massively envy. But on the flip of this, people who actively avoid all these things are some of the biggest knobheads on planet Earth, because they are people who've like deleted Facebook, and people who don't go on social media, and people don't have social media accounts, are to the digital world what vegans are to eating food, and what atheists are to religion, or fundamentalists are to any religion. It's like, that's boss. It's great that you don't have the ability. It's great that you've switched off to all this stuff. Like, but like, just shut up. Just shut up and give it a fucking minute. I'm not on Facebook, actually. Oh, brilliant. Good on you.
But here's the thing, right? I'm happy with that. Because you'd hear that once every fucking 2 weeks. I'd rather hear that than 2,000 people shouting every fucking 5 minutes about bullshit on Twitter. Because that's all that is, mate. Yeah. It's just them doing the same thing, except you hear it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So that one person that you meet every 6 weeks that tells you I'm not on Facebook, sounds. Can you tell these other 2,000 bastards to shut up about fucking this and that for me? Because they're doing my nutting.
I'm not having it, the smug gobshite. so I won a page this week. And be very careful. Again, I'm flip-flopping on me social distancing Nazism, Chris, I have to say. And the one that's got me this week, because I equate it to, there's a great Jason Manford line and stand-up line. He talks about considering himself very socialist and considers himself very left-wing and working class. But then he also says, you know, if someone breaks into your house, it's like, string them up, you know, at the same token. And I have this with this, it's like, we should all be a bit more laissez-faire in life. But honestly, when I see videos of people stood on Tower Bridge, shoulder to shoulder with fucking police officers clapping the NHS, I can't wrap my head around someone just not going, hang on a second, Derek, he says, turning to his other officer, are we allowed to do this? We're not allowed to do this, are they? Okay.
Oh, no, it's for the NHS. This will help them.
That's fine, yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is going to help them with the social distancing COVID-19 coronavirus issue.
Oh, my God.
Maybe next time we should vote for fucking Labour.
And can I also, in addition to this, as a side note on this, the American people who are protesting against isolation. And there's something in the core of Americans, and it gets a lot of stick from like left wing media and stuff. And I think some of it's unfairly, because I think you've got it tends to be a lot of like the gun lovers or whatever. And I know people who are very liberal, but also are very very pro guns as well. I find that a mad dichotomy about the country. I love America; it's my favorite place, and I love Americans. But the people who are you know, for American rights, the people who've got are often NRA members, and they're often like part of like smaller militias or small groups and all that, and they're always about making America great and all that. They've got so many, like, at the core of them, they've got something brilliant about them, which sounds mad because I'm not like justifying any of the weird racists and all that kind of stuff, but it's mad how they get pointed in the wrong directions on stuff. Like, if they got behind the cause that those people got behind the cause of, let's hold the government to account, and that's the point why the Constitution and the right to bear arms is so important to so many Americans, is because if they don't want the government taking their rights away from them to bear arms. So if the government say you can't have your guns, it means that they can't rise up and take the country back should they need to. But the problem is I keep seeing moments and I'm like, wonder if they're going to rise up and take the country back, and they never do, and they never seem to. And you see these moments pass, and you think it would be quite useful, I think, you know, in some walks of life to have, you know, I mean, I'm not saying for bloodshed and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure there's much more peaceful ways of doing things and that. But like, at what point? And the fact that they're doing it at this point, they're like, no, we're going to rise up because the cause is that we need to be able to not be in our house because that's stripping away our civil liberties and stuff. Wow. I find it, it boggles the mind, Chris.
Half of them don't even believe it's a real thing. The genuinely, half of them don't. And look, like, everyone's entitled to their opinions, but like, some people shouldn't.
Well, people, opinions can be wrong,
yeah.
And that's the point. Is I don't get. Sorry to cut over you, Chris, but this is the problem with opinions: is that they're great, but you're entitled to have them, but you are just as entitled to be shot down for having stupid opinions, because that's the way the whole thing works.
Yeah, it does. And like, I get baffled by it because they're like out protesting and stuff like that, and they're like, you know, we need to be able to work, and I'm like, yeah, but you need to live first, and that's kind of what the government is actually trying to do here. And, you know, flipping it on his end, talking about the government a little bit more, one of the things that's pissing me off a lot over the last couple of weeks, Paul, is the fact that, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, like, why don't we hear more from just the scientific officers, and why do the things, and I realised they're leading the story. That's why they're doing this. That's why Trump's doing a press conference every single day. That's why someone in the senior government official over here is doing it. There is literally no opposition at the moment to either of these, you know, whether it's Trump or whether it's Johnson's administration. There is no opposition, and they are setting the propaganda agenda each and every day, and they're beaming it into each and every flipping home in the United Kingdom. And they are using this to their advantage. They could quite happily not do it. Everyone I know switched off after the fourth day of these things because they realise they're just lying. But there are people there thinking this is great, and they're just eating it up, and it's just fucking lies that they are saying over and over again to make sure that they're in power the next time a general election comes over. That's all they're doing. That's all they're using it for. They are using the shit that we are in to their political advantage whilst also killing fucking people. And at some point, somebody's got to look at this and go, health and safety executives, they were supposed to save the people. They are supposed to provide a safe working environment for people in hospitals. And there are people dying in hospitals who work in hospitals because of their fucking negligence. And someone should sue the fucking government. And the families of the people who've lost people should sue the government. And they should be suing Boris Johnson and his fucking dickhead aides for putting us into this situation. It's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, and it was that moment where, you know, what happened, and again, to be fair, this is probably one of the reasons why it does tie into that, like, you know, people's liberties being stripped, and I get why people can follow it down the wrong rabbit hole on this. But like, the problem with social isolation or distancing, moreover, is it meant that they couldn't have the journalists in the room with them anymore, and they had them over a video screen. And the second you have that control, you strip away the power of the press in those situations. And I'm not saying they were asking the tough questions, but actually there was a couple where in the early days where they were getting asked good questions by like less than, you know, old, not like old, you know, Fleet Street kind of sources and what have you, were actually asking and pressing them on various like, things.
There was a Lad Bible one, wasn't there? It was a BuzzFeed journalist or something, yeah. I think in America. And maybe it was UK, I can't remember now. And the fellow was like, I've been a journalist for 30 years.
Yeah.
Just because you equate it with BuzzFeed and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm an accredited journalist. I've been doing this job for 30 years. I'm working for BuzzFeed now. It's just the way it is. Like, and it's,
but
best,
it's,
you know, was
but you control, content. You control, you've got a greater control over the media because you literally, like, it's like this now. I could, like, we could be having a conversation, we can have a debate, and I could just turn your camera off, or I could just mute you and I could carry on talking, and I could carry on talking to the point where people will either just listen to me or they'll get bored and they'll switch off or whatever, but it'll get forgotten. You just bluster along until people forget that the question, what question was asked in the first place, and what they're doing is you haven't got the facilities well to go, no, I'm sorry, can you just go back and answer the question for me, because it's getting moved on and stuff. It's a very, very weird circumstances at the moment, and it's mad like that government accountability. And what you've also got now, of course, and we're getting a bit heavy on this, I appreciate this for all the people looking for lighthearted escape via podcast form, we can't get together to protest is also the issue. And again, when I say all these things, I realise there's slivers of good of like the right stuff that some people are doing in America, because I get it, because when you think about it that way, like let's just say it's a government scandal. And there's plenty of that. Like the Times absolutely slaughtering them was a good start in that regard. Mad to come from, you know, again.
It's a right wing newspaper.
Yeah, exactly.
I was having a big argument with people over the weekend about this, and it's like, I'm like, look, I'm not being funny. This is a right wing newspaper calling out a Tory government.
Yeah.
It must have been. What? Just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because someone said to me, "That's lame, see media." I was like, this is the problem. Lamestream media, fake news, it's too easy. It's just, look, it's just, no, it's fake.
What was that, by the way?
That was a pair of headphones. But this is a fundamental issue that they've got you thinking that everything's fake. So when the real stuff comes along, like the Times, a right-wing newspaper, telling you that they've made mistakes, people go, fake.
Yeah,
well, there's no argument to that.
Well, it was like Trump said the other day, he got called out on something. He went, well, look, I'm here, aren't I? So I must be here for a reason. So some people must like me. I was voted as president, so I must know what I'm doing. It was just like basically his answer to something. My slight issue with that Times thing, and we've had this a couple of times happen, is for good or for ill, it ended up actually sparking a debate over paywalls more than anything else, than people actually talking about the content of the article. And the problem is, for me, and I get it, and I saw people writing threads in defence of the paywalls, and I'm in on paywalls, because you have to be able to fund what you're doing. If you want to produce, there's no such thing as being able to produce free content, and ad revenue does not cover that in the way that people seem to think it does. It just doesn't. This is not the 80s, and it's not producing ITV. You know, there's too many other things going on. There's too much competition for space, and good quality content and journalism and all that kind of stuff, it costs money to produce. But the Times producing a hard-hitting expose on the current government and then putting it behind a paywall. And I got to a point where, yes, you can sign up and you can get your free article and you can get whatever. But I'll be honest, I went on it and went, because, like, inevitably there's 5 minutes I haven't got in my day for another thing, for another email sign up, for another account. Hard-hitting journalism like that, if it was important, it annoys the life out of me. But they should have taken a hit for the greater good on that and made sure everyone was able to read it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, there was one the other day, maybe a few weeks ago, where the newspaper went, yeah, you're right, we'll put that out for free, and that was the way to do it. The Times should have done that. I wasn't even aware that it was, because I've got that one free account thing a week. So I didn't actually realise, I just didn't even realise, didn't even click on that the Times was one of those, you know, obviously I wasn't thinking about it, like, but no, you're right, they should have done that, especially when it's something as important as that is. I mean, I think the article the week before in the New York Times was even better about the American one, and I'm glad that there was one done on the English, government and what Boris Johnson was up to or wasn't up to, because hopefully a few people who read that newspaper, and they are, like, regardless, you know, I don't agree with their political stance, but I do like some of the journalists from the Times, and they're good writers, and they do research it. They see it through their eyes, but they always tell the truth, and I think that's one of the things that a good journalist can do. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, they write it in a right wing way, but they are telling you the truth. They're not so far over to the right hand side that it's lies. And so I don't mind reading Times articles for that, because actually it's helpful to read something from a different viewpoint.
You should always
you expand your own horizons.
It gives you a greater understanding of how the world works when you step outside your bubble and you see what the other side are looking at and reading. Yeah, absolutely. Something I want to draw attention to, actually, from last week's podcast. I had my rant on the page last time, Chris, about left-handed scissors.
Oh yeah.
And the response has been overwhelmingly positive towards my page.
It's so lefties mad of the world. There's so many idiots in the world. I just didn't know, Paul.
Yeah, I got a few tweets here. Tony Hanlofto said it's a real thing. Flat scissors are okay, but molded ones are a nightmare. But the two things aren't mutually exclusive. Gaz J73, left-handed, and I dread scissors coming out for arts and crafts. Trying to cut a line is a nightmare, as you can't see it with your finger and thumb, and don't fit the holes. That's the thing, yeah, because the way where they cut, you can't see what you're cutting as well, because your hand's in the way. It's oh my god, yeah.
You know what,
Henry Jackson,
I always
it's a real
thought it was
thing.
An issue for left handers, sorry mate. I always thought an issue is writing on a chalkboard, because you're like, right, and then you watch the teacher rub his writing off with his own fucking hand that he's writing on, and you're like, this is just stupid. This is why you're wrong. This is why you're wrong to be left-handed, Paul.
Can't write, gel pens, because the ink and fountain pens, the ink doesn't dry quick enough. So you just end up, like, basically smudging everything you've written as you go along. It's fucking insane, but, Chris.
So is the only way that a lefty could write right to left normally? Because you couldn't even do down, could you? Because when you get down to the bottom, you'd have to go up, and then you'd rub the whole thing down again.
You end up with a mad... You end up with just... There's nothing you can do about it. You just end up with, like, ink down your hand, down... ink and smudge and all kinds of shite down your hands. It's bizarre. Honestly, it's mental. But it goes back to my thing, you know, about... There's just things that we do a bit wrong, and I wonder if... Yeah, if we wrote the other way around, it'd be fine, but right-handers would therefore be the one. I wonder if... And this might be one of the most stupid things anyone said out loud. I don't even know why I'd commit to it without checking it first. Because, like, Japanese is read the other way. So, like, books are read the other way and all that kind of stuff, aren't they? Is that also then written that way as well? Or is it still written from left to right? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
I guess it's still written from left to right, but yeah, I always wondered that. But yeah, loads of people anyway. Thanks so much to everyone who jumped to my defence and really struck a chord with the lefties of the world.
I'd be really surprised if they didn't write it right to left.
Yeah.
Because you've got to write the last word in your sentence first, which would be bafflingly stupid.
Yeah.
I really hope that's just sound logic. But, like, you know, the cat is fucking fat, and you write fat is the first word you'd have to write, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And so it's just got to be that way. It's got to be. Please let it be that way.
Is that right? Let us know.
It's got
how badly
to be.
We've
got
that.
To write.
Honestly,
right to
this,
left.
I can't, Chris,
right
I can't.
Left.
I can't
We're
have
back
this.
In
it's
this
like
echo
having the fucking.
Oh,
my God.
Again,
it's like.
It?
This is the past.
This is the past. Yeah, amazing. I've had someone put, ring-bound folders, trying to write in things like that. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Right, we've had some people. We asked people for your pages, things that you would like to see page, to put it out on the community tab on YouTube.
We're going to have Kevin, a yay and an A sound, whether we're going to page it or not.
Yeah, Kevin Napier said, well, we're not going to do a sound because that would require me to do something in the edit, but we'll put our hands up and go yay or nay. Kevin Napier, idiot 5Gers who are burning down cell towers / conspiracy theorists. These people have the potential to cause real harm, and it's all unfounded, false, unproven information. I think we talked about these a couple of weeks ago, but are we going to purge?
Oh, 100% we are purging the 5G theorists. I mean, they are gone. The fact that the most of the ones who believe in it use sunbeds is baffling to me. The people that I know, they're all ridiculously tanned, completely fake tanned, and it's like, oh no, the 5G, the radiation's going to kill you. I'm like, your skin's falling off from fucking spending too much time on a sunbed, love. Yeah. Stop it now.
I saw a tweet this week, and it was about someone saying, like, when the coronavirus vaccine is done, will you be giving it to your kids? And it was a load of anti-vaxxers in there talking about how their kids ended up with autism because they were vaccinated. And I've often thought this, you know, again, it goes back to the modern technology and the knock-on impact stuff. Has anyone ever stopped to think, and I'm just throwing this, is just as wild a speculation as any of these, Chris, maybe telly's to blame? Because there's been a significant rise in all of these things in the era of the television, is all I'm saying. You know, so can people tell me categorically that the television and the tablet and all that isn't what's actually causing all the things that people are blaming vaccines for? Why not?
Loads of things like that. I mean, I've been saying, and you'll have heard me say this before, whether I've said it on a video or not, I'm not sure. This is going to cause arthritis in this.
Yes.
In 15 years' time, I guarantee, yeah, that phones are going to cause arthritis in your hands because they've just not been around long enough, like, you know what I mean, right now to do any kind of testing. I already do it, like, during the day when I'm like that, and it's not keyboards, it's my phone, it's gripping my phone like that all the fucking time. Like, they're going to cause so many problems. Like, and if you look at the scale of where 5G is on the radiation scale before you go spouting off about the towers, you'd probably realise that it's no more dangerous than 4G.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, definitely. I'd love a return, go back to just to get back to the grumpy old menness of it, to a world where I enjoyed getting phone calls. And I don't think I've ever truly been in that world, but I think about, like, the days when, like, we just had a landline. And, like, you'd have your phone by
Surprise!
Your front door.
Surprise! Who is it?
Yeah. You'd have your phone by your front door, and, like, there'd maybe be a little chair there. So, like, and your mum would go and sit by the front door on a small chair by the phone table.
7791.
And have a natter for a bit. The second we untethered phones... And also, and to be fair, like, the landline, I would go back to the landlines, but 99% of the phone calls I got on my landline were cold calls.
Yeah.
And then you've just got all that then is that, and this is the thing, all ties into the modern world, fucking all the things that were nice and simple about life. Like, now, whenever you get a phone call, what are the odds that it's someone phoning you to say something nice? Like, it's not...
Even my mum doesn't do that to me, Paul.
No.
She's normally having a go at me for something. She's long gone are the days when my mum would say something nice to me.
Yeah.
So I've got no chance, really, to be honest with you. But I have used this lockdown to do just such a thing. So now I've been going out for a walk as soon as the kids go to bed for an hour on my own because my head's pickled. And I have been using that hour to phone people of an evening as I'm walking around. So last night I phoned up Carl, our mate, the chef. Spoke to him for about... probably 45, 50 minutes or something like that.
You spoke to Paul Allen the other day, didn't you?
I spoke to Paul Allen the other day. Joe, Aubrey, I rang Aki. I'm going to ring an Aki tonight because I missed his call. I don't need to phone you because I spend like 4 hours a day on the phone to you. But I'm genuinely enjoying it. And what I said to you, and this is what I've realised during lockdown, I was on the phone to you the other day. It's so much easier to talk to somebody on a phone than it is on a video or something else. Because for a start, and I've realised why it's so much easier to talk to somebody, you're not distracted. Why? Because your phone's in your hand.
Yeah.
And if I'm on a video call and my phone's there and I get a message, I'm down and I'm checking it while I'm on the video with you. It's so fucking rude, and I hate it when people do it to me, and I do it to people all the time. I'm such a hypocrite on it. But you do, Paul, you do. But when you're walking around and you're just talking on the phone, I'm listening to what people are saying and I'm enjoying talking to them. And you just need to try it. It's a revelation. I'm telling you, the fucking phone call, it's back, baby. It's surging. It's surging, baby.
And it fits nicely because I don't know how many people got onto this, but like we discover this working in pubs, whenever someone would get a call on the phone, that there's something about that, having a mobile phone and having a call, that it naturally makes you want to walk. And like watching someone get a call and then just go wandering off. So I think it naturally suits that is the natural environment of the mobile phone. It's back to the 80s.
It's getting mobile, baby.
Yeah, get mobile, get on the street. Make yourself feel more important than you are by shouting out your conversation into
a fucking
piece of plastic.
Yeah. Get an earpiece.
Oh, I love
that.
Big one
that sticks out.
is one thing actually on that that I want to be in the surge. What did we do for surge last week?
The surge
is people having public conversations on the phones. It's one of my favourite things, and I don't just mean normal, mundane, boring shit. I mean heavy, heavy, nasty argument shit. I am particularly now because we're in this world where we're all out and about and we're all, like, you know, walking, blinking like newborn children out into the sunshine for the first time in our lives of an evening. I'm just naturally just nosy, and I love walking past people who are having really animated, serious phone conversations, because, and it's largely around ours, it's largely like scally lads who may or may not also be drug dealers, who are arguing with either people who owe them money, people they owe money to, or partners or mums that they've fallen out with, and they puff themselves up like they're stood toe to toe with people and have that argument and gesticulate and point and really get into it. And it's one of the mad little things I really love about life, provided it's not directed at me. I love seeing that. It's like watching street theatre.
Yeah.
I love it. I would like to see that ring fenced for all eternity.
I'm with you on that one. I think it's fantastic. Just not when I'm on a quiet train and I'm trying to do something.
Yeah.
But if I'm not doing anything, then brilliant, bring it on. Also, like, can we just have more people putting all the serious fails on CCTV online for me?
Mm-hmm.
They're just the best.
Yeah. Anyone? That's the one good thing about unfiltered YouTube, and you do have to be careful, but like typing fail videos in, and I could sit there with the kids because they are all like me. I've trained them well. They love a bit of physical comedy. I'm bang up for that. So what do you want to search?
I'm going phone calls.
Just for you surging your phone calls. Okay, cool. We will collectively surge the people posting videos of them getting hurt on CCTV. Yeah.
We've surged.
Fantastic. Just lastly, there was someone that wanted us to purge. Owen Douglas wanted us to purge Mesut Ozil, who's refusing to take a pay cut despite being on $350,000 a week. It's a very difficult subject, this, because I think people automatically go, big wage, it's a ludicrous amount of money, therefore they should have loads to spare. And I think that it's probably not far wrong as an argument. I've seen loads of people, mainly Arsenal fans, jump into it because this is what we do. Because, like, you know, there's people defending Liverpool over the furlough and stuff because tribalism comes into all these things. Footballers donate loads of money to the NHS, and they donate loads of stuff to charities and all that kind of stuff, so they are contributing. But it comes back for me, this again, we had this conversation for weeks, if people are worried about football clubs going under, eventually everyone's going to just like they're going to cut all this stuff, like all the staff are going to get furloughed, or they're going to do this and they're going to do this and they'll cut back this, and eventually everyone's just going to turn and look at the footballers all sat there going, you know, sat there with their fucking multi-million pound contracts, and probably go, this is a bit wrong with footy, isn't it? Like, and I'm not one of these, Chris, who believes the footballers don't deserve the money that they earn, because you should be able to earn whatever the going rate is. If you can go and earn that money, absolutely fair play to you. But it also is like it's like movie stars as well. Exactly, all the people who do those things. It's mad. It's a bizarre, when you consider how much football is hinged and how much of football is spent on the wages of footballers. It's barmy.
Yeah, I don't really know where I sit with this one, to be honest, mate. I'm probably not your typical football fan who just thinks that Mesut Ozil should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the ins and outs of the situation, for one, so I always find it more difficult to pick a side. But two, if Arsenal made more profit than Mesut Ozil this season, and if Arsenal made more profit than Mesut Ozil last season, which I'm pretty certain they will have done, then why are you having a go at Mesut Ozil? Like, in Liverpool's scenario, I know we made close to 100 million quid, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Now the footballers make about 5.
Yeah.
So why should they? If the football club isn't losing money or anything like that, you know what I mean?
I think
Ozil's a mad one because he's like $350,000 a week or something, but also, like, they're the talent, and if they decide to do whatever they want with that money, then sound, and if he wants to take his time and think about it and work it out, then let him.
Well, that's the thing, he's asked for people to, he's asked to know where the money's going.
Yeah. And that's rightfully the thing. So, because does Arsenal's owner pay tax in this country, Paul?
Well, that's, yeah, these are
like,
all the things.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why have we got businesses out here, and this is who are applying for the furlough scheme because they've got workers, yet they're buried, they're in tax havens, so they don't pay into the tax system, but they're able to utilise the furlough system. Why is that allowed? Like, you know what I mean? Why aren't we just saying, if you don't fucking pay proper company taxes in this country, you're not allowed to use these fucking schemes. And I'm sorry, but you've got to use this as a reset point. You've got to start talking to these businesses and saying, if you want to trade in England, you need to pay your taxes in England. If you're trading in England, doesn't matter where you're based, you're paying your taxes. And I get the reason that they did it. They want businesses. They want to be favourable to businesses to get them in here and stuff. Like, we're already a favourable country for people because we've got a lot of disposable income. We're lucky in that regard as a general population.
Yeah.
It needs all sorting out, and this is all part and parcel of the footballers thing. I think it's all intertwined, to be honest with you. And that's why I don't know how I should feel about it. Because at heart, they go, yeah, he's right, some 350 grand a week. What's it matter to him if he loses?
Yeah, he's a headline figure, isn't he? Because he's one of them. He's got all that stuff going for him for the media to dig the claws in. Foreign lad. Everyone knows
lazy.
He's lazy as well,
that feeds into it. That's why it's no one else.
Yeah. And he's got that headline figure of being on that massive wage, and Arsenal also drive a lot of interest as well, like, you know what I mean, to stoke these things up. But you know, I don't disagree. I think it's one of them things where there comes a point. I think everyone has this in business, particularly because, like, the footballers are while the footballers can't do any really contribute towards the product. It kind of makes sense, you know, to some extent, but it's all part and parcel of the whole thing. You're right. I mean, if it's the difference between football clubs going to the wall, I think the footballers will look at that and go, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. We're going to take this for the collective good, because what's the point if the club can't pay me? If the difference between taking a 20% pay cut and me having no money at all, then you take the 20% pay cut, don't you? But yeah, it's good. That's going to be the big steps. I think that's going to be the big thing, the big talking point in the next coming weeks, is that until football, they have a plan for football. That'll be what happens.
I bet you they wish they'd done a fee for the season, rather than a weekly wage.
That'll happen. Yeah, things will change. Things will dramatically change. One last thing. Talk that the Bundesliga is going to be back behind closed doors playing within 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And anyone who talks about what happens, what the future of the Premier League is, and will it come back, and blah, blah, blah. Can I just say, I'm putting this out as a prediction here right now. Bundesliga comes back as the first major league back in action, albeit behind closed doors. I think BT have got the Bundesliga rights. The viewing figures for those live games are going to be astronomical, because it's the first proper football that people have got access to, and the Premier League are going to go cha-ching, and they're going to do everything in their power to make sure, even when I don't think it'll be over, because they've still got to be seen to be saying and doing the right things. But I think the second a big league like that gets up and running, and they find a method of doing it, and people see how lucrative it is and how much importance it is, don't be shocked if maybe the Premier League, for good or ill, is all of a sudden
I reckon they're talking about something like the 6th of June, Premier League, and they won't be wanting the Bundesliga still a march on them, because that's what the Bundesliga will be doing.
They'll
be catapulting themselves into everybody's rear view mirror, and then pulling up alongside them, and then overtaking them, and everyone's all just had their eyes on the Bundesliga's arse, loving it with all these talented players and stuff. But now it's going to be, I think
the Bundesliga's arse. Carry on.
I think
the Bundesliga,
middle of June, end of June.
Yeah,
but I think they're aiming for early June, something like that.
I reckon so. Okay, well, we'll wrap that up there. Thank you very much, Chris. A pleasure as always. I'm feeling, my head's feeling loads less chocker, which is always the point of these whole podcasts.
Wait until I tell you, I don't know how long that light's been off for on the camera.
Don't do that.
I'm just joking with you.
Mine's still on, so it's fine. Right, I don't know whether the audio's been recording. We'll soon find all of these questions out very soon. But listen, if you want to interact with us, you can do comments underneath YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. 5-star reviews on podcast and apps at MateXPayJack on Twitter, MateXPayJack@gmail.com if you want to email us. Please do all that. And of course, go to patreon.com/MateXPayJack.
We've got our first patrons, we've got a Discord chat on the go, and everything. Amazing. brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. bit.ly/MXP patron.
Get involved with all of that good stuff, and we'll be back with another MXP podcast next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.